Welcome to the third and final episode of a three-part series with Andrew Nerlich. Over the past 2 weeks, we have released episodes which highlight 40 years of Andrew's martial arts career, which result in a gold sash in Wing Chun and a first-degree black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. In the third and final episode, Andrew discusses a road rage incident that occurred in 2018, where he became a victim. The incident was documented and released on an Australian TV show. I would like to extend my gratitude to Andrew for not only offering so much of his time, but for also sharing something with us that is not easy to talk about. So please tune in and enjoy and be safe over this festive season. Before you get going, I'll just explain. So we've been a little bit talking around the edges here a couple of times, and I'm sure you might have noticed, but there was an incident that occurred in 2018 with Andrew. It was a road rage incident which made the news. There was a video or a TV show that was recorded on it. And when I release this, if you're okay with that, I'll share it so that people, if they want to watch it, they're more than welcome to.
Look, it's out there. I have a blog that I put all my seminar notes up on. I wrote about this on there, so it's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the internet, once you put something out there, you can't ever take it back.
Yeah.
I don't feel I have anything to be ashamed of with this, or any sort of cause for fear or embarrassment. So, and I think it's useful for people to hear about this, because I think it actually worked out very well, even though the actions I took and what happened to me aren't what most people would expect from a martial artist, if you like.
Yeah. Did you want to explain the story?
Okay.
Which, by the way, guys, this could be a podcast episode on its own, so strap yourselves in.
Yep. Okay. I'd been to Langley's on a Friday, and I'd taken a class for the fairly rare occasions Anthony was busy and had something else to do. I think most good instructors, they're there 90% of the time. Everybody has things in their lives that they have to attend to, but most good instructors will be there most of the time. Anyway, I did that. That went fine. I'm driving home past the Northern Beaches Hospital. If you spend any time driving past there, it's been a dog's breakfast road-wise for a couple of years. Seems to change every time I drive through there. Something's different. So it's difficult for road users to navigate. I was driving through a section where there used to be three-lane dual carriageway, I should say, on both sides. The roads used to have three lanes going straight through. They'd recently changed it so the two outside lanes went in an S and become the middle lane and the inside lane. The inside lane vanishes and like a right-hand turn lane appeared there. And that had probably only been there for a couple of months. I was driving through there. I was driving next to another guy. I'm going through the curves and we collided. I'm pretty sure that I did the right thing. I can't be 100% sure of that, but the cops, insurance company, everyone else said, they've never said anything different. So we have a collision. I slow down, he pulls in front of me at the lights, which were just in front of us. I'm thinking we're gonna go on a bit further, pull over, stop and talk about it. I had no idea that anything was going to happen, but you know, he gets out of the car, starts stomping towards me. I'm thinking, oh, this doesn't look good. I'm 63 years old. I'm in pretty good health. You know, obviously trained in martial arts. But, you know, when I stop the car, the automatic doors unlock.
Mm-hmm.
So my doors are unlocked. He comes along. I'd started to open the door to get out and talk to him,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is the polite thing to do, I think,
mm-hmm.
if not maybe the best idea for self-preservation.
Yeah, to not be stuck in a seatbelt.
Yeah. So I, yeah, that too. But I open the door and sort of just to show, you know, look, let's talk. I'm not going to attack you, but I'm not going to fall to pieces either.
Mm.
You know, you're going to have to deal with me sort of thing.
Mm.
But he sort of kicks the door shut and kicks it shut and then rips it open again and starts punching for, you know, giving it his best shot. I sort of had my seatbelt undone. I had very little time to react,
mm-hmm.
right? I just sort of spun in the seat and turned towards him, put my hands up on my forehead, which is a thing that John Will teaches called the shell. And Rodney King, who teaches a thing called the crazy monkey defense, is famous for. I also brought one of my feet up. Mm. So I was facing this guy with an open guard,
yep.
if you like. This turned out to be a very good idea. You've got to remember that, you know, three lanes of traffic, it's a busy road. You get out and start fighting somebody, one or both of you is probably going to die, right? Not because one of you is going to kill the other, but a passing car or truck or whatever is going to take you out.
Yeah.
Also mindful that, you know, there are witnesses everywhere. I don't want to hit somebody or abuse somebody in front of witnesses. I don't know whether it was a sensible thing or not, but it worked out well at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar, in his podcast, talked about not being stuck in a corner,
mm-hmm.
Which in his situation I agree with. But in my situation, I was in the car. And you could say I'm stuck in the car, but yeah, look at what I'm stuck in. I had like this metal and glass shield around me on, you know, up, down, two sides and behind me. And he's in front of me. I've got a good defense up. All I've got to do is wear his punches. He can't really kick me. He can't sort of do hooks or uppercuts. All he could do was like straight punches.
Yeah.
Right? He was hitting me. I've been hit before with Rick Spain sparring and stuff like that. I've had, you know, blood noses, cuts, you know, the usual sort of thing that
you've
happens.
He's been knocked out.
Yeah, in a striking gym.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff happens if it's honest training.
Mm.
He's wailing away at me, and if you look at the video, you can see he was wailing away at me.
So like close to 20 punches or something?
Yeah, something like that. It only seemed to me like it was maybe 6 to 8.
Yeah.
But there were more, which is probably a good thing. A lot of them bounced off my arms, you know. One or two got through, probably out of, he sort of hit me once, went back to his car, but somehow my car jumped into gear. I was facing sideways, so it's not like I decided, right, I'm going to get you, bastard, and drive up his rear end or whatever.
Mm.
But the car sort of lurched forward on its own. I mean, you know, up till then it was minor panel damage. And, you know, the car goes in the back of his. I can't drive my car anymore. So I didn't want that to happen. I didn't want to escalate something which was already, you know, plenty bad enough.
Yeah.
And he'd got a couple of fairly decent shots through, but, you know, I wasn't badly injured. I might have had a cut. He knocked my glasses off, which somehow miraculously survived. But anyway, my car lurched in the back of his. I've had a lot of time thinking about this, and I still can't work out exactly how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I thought for a moment someone had run into the back of me, and then I'd run into the back of him.
Right.
But I think I must have just bumped the gear lever.
Yeah.
But it's still, I won't rabbit on about it anymore because it's just something I know I'm never going to solve.
Yeah.
But that happened, and yeah, that was pretty freaky. I'm already sort of a bit sort of, bewildered by all this and freaking out a bit. He comes back and has a second go at me because I ran into the back of his car.
Yeah.
And that's the one you'll see on the video, on the TV show. That's over. It's like I'm watching the punches come in and said, no, you missed with that one. Oh, yeah, I'll give you a 6 for that. Oh, that was an 8. No, that one missed. No. Oh, yeah. So I'm feeling each punch physically, but they're not, I'm not getting any serious damage.
Mm-hmm.
I know what getting tagged is and what getting seriously hurt is.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't getting seriously hurt. In a situation like that, it's not like sparring. It's, your adrenaline just goes through the roof.
Yeah.
But I was scared. I didn't panic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking back on it, I think my actions were really sensible.
Mm-hmm.
And, I can't think of how it would have worked out better. You know, in the blog post I write about it, I mentioned another incident where two guys got out of their car, one punched the other, he fell back on the road and the truck ran him over and killed him. And, one guy's dead, the other guy's got like 5 years in jail for manslaughter.
Yeah.
You know, and that was something I wanted to avoid, being on either side of. As it turned out, there was a truck driver behind me who had a dash cam.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all caught on video. He stopped to help me. Another two guys on the truck on my left stopped to help me as well.
Yep.
Which meant I wasn't stuck in the middle lane with traffic whizzing past on both sides.
Yeah.
The cops thought I blanked out. Yeah, I blacked out, but I didn't.
Mm.
But, I got out of the car. I had blood dripping off my face, but I'm saying, I sort of got through that.
Mm.
And one of the guys from the truck next to me came around and I sort of got out of the car and stood up. And I said something to him just to, reassure him and myself. I cracked some sort of joke and, I said, oh, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Something like that.
Yeah.
The guy in the B-double with the dash cam, Stu Bluer, he came up and they sort of got the car off the road for me.
Yeah.
Because I was still sort of freaking out. It's very difficult to process.
Of course.
They called the cops. Cops came. Cops were very nice to me. They sort of got me to go sit in their truck, and I know that was because they wanted to talk to other people to say, what actually happened here. We see this guy's got blood on his face, but who was the instigator?
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And once they got the story straight and saw that I wasn't part of the problem.
Yeah.
They were instantly very nice to me.
Yeah.
Senior Constable Stephanie Famiglia and Constable Mitchell Riley, shout out to you.
Mm.
So got the car off the road. They said, we can tow it for you, but you'll have to pay for it. I'm sort of, I'm sort of freaking about all sorts of stuff.
Sure.
You know, my wife's going to be pissed off because we've only got one car and we've got overseas visitors staying with us and, their plans will be ruined. And, I mean, it's stupid, but that's what you think about.
Yeah, yeah.
I
mean, it's time like that.
Yeah. Which no one cares about, But anyway, they sort of sorted out what went on. Because an actual assault had been committed, they said, look, we're going to take your car to Motor Vale Police Station and get our forensic people to look at it.
Mm.
So, that saved me having to make that decision. They called the ambulance and, they sort of had to talk me into going to hospital, but I'm glad they did because I was not making good decisions at all. I wasn't making any decisions. Sort of like, we can take care of your car, but you'll have to pay for it. What? I can't deal with this now.
Yeah.
I didn't say that to them, but, it just went right past.
No answer.
Yeah. So the car was taken care of. The ambulance, the paramedics sort of, do you want to go to hospital? I don't want to be I don't want to be a problem. But they just kept saying, do you want to go to hospital?
Mm.
And I said, yeah, all right, I'll go to hospital.
Yep. I was going to say, what are the extent of your injuries? I mean, obviously, it seems like you're in a bit of shock, maybe concussed, maybe?
Not concussed. I'm sure I wasn't concussed, but shock.
Yeah.
I said before, I'm in good health. My blood pressure's 114 over 78.
Mm-hmm.
Like about half an hour after it happened, I'm in the ambulance, they take my blood pressure.
Mm.
It's 140 over 90. So, you can imagine how high it spiked in the confrontation.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't have been fit, you're talking about, possible stroke, heart attack, whatever.
Yep.
Right? The guy that attacked me drove off in his car. He left his spare tyre behind. I went to a hospital. I just had facial cuts. My ear was cut, probably because glancing blow.
Yeah.
And some of the cuts on my face were probably from my glasses. They sort of fell off after the first shot that connected.
Yeah.
They ended up in the back seat of the car somehow and they were intact. I thought they'd be in a million pieces on the road somewhere.
Mm.
So, that was a, small mercy sort of moment.
Yeah.
So I go to hospital, spent about 3 hours in hospital. I needed one stitch inside my lip because, tooth or something.
Yeah.
Had cut the lip most of the way through. But that in the scheme of things, that's not a big deal.
Mm.
I don't regard it as serious injuries. You get attacked, you're going to get injured. Mm. If you don't, you're very lucky.
Yeah.
You don't win a street fight. Street fights aren't usually street fights. One person attacks the other person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other person survives or doesn't in one form or another.
Mm.
So surviving fairly intact is a win, I think.
Mm. Being able to stay safe. Yeah, like you talked about the very first thing that you learn under one of the curriculums, and forgive me for missing it, but...
I called it survival, but it's exactly like you say. And it pretty much was,
mm. Just survive.
Good defence.
Mm.
Yeah. Good defence. Don't... Yeah. You might have to take some punishment, but... you know how to take punishment, as long as it's not severe punishment.
Mm.
Yeah, and I could do that.
Yeah.
And, you hear of stories where, there's young guy with an old guy and they both get attacked and the young guy stepped up because he said, I can take the punishment but the old guy can't, sort of thing.
Mm.
Yeah, that, you know, bad stuff happens, you might have to deal with it like that. You know, interesting listening to other people's street altercations.
Mm-hmm.
What I would say, and Peter King rang me a couple of days later. A few other people rang me as well, like Anthony's wife, Nikki, who's got a great heart. And Luca rang me. he said, you know, it's never fun and it's never going to be what you think it's going to be.
Mm.
In when you get in an actual altercation. And really, people talk about, you know, realism in martial arts and, you know, reality-based stuff. But I can almost guarantee you that if you get in a situation like this, it's not going to be anything like you thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about, you know, you get into this, you know, sort of stair stage, and then what, you know, Jeff Thompson calls the interview, where the guy's in your face deciding, you know, whether you're a suitable candidate for him to boot up on, and your job is to fail the interview if you can.
Yeah.
You know, make him think, no, this is not the right candidate for the job I have in mind.
Yeah.
None of that happened. It was just, you know, 2 seconds.
I've seen the video.
Yeah.
Like, he just, yeah.
I had 2 seconds to prepare.
And the fact that you had the instincts,
yes,
for self-defense and, yeah, preservation.
But, you know, those were learned instincts.
Yes.
And Oscar was saying, yeah, I didn't really do any jiu-jitsu to my guy.
Mm.
And I can't remember the other fella's name.
Danny.
Yeah, Danny.
Mm.
His one too. You know, he didn't really do any jiu-jitsu to the guy. But what you do is jiu-jitsu. You know, that for me was, you know, 40 years of training kicking in.
Mm.
In, you know, I 2 seconds flat sort of thing. And I didn't arm lock the guy, I didn't guillotine him, I didn't take him down, get mount, make him turn over and take his back and choke him out, but jiu-jitsu, you know. Bit of Wing Chun, bit of jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Also, you know, they didn't do anything. You know, they've been training for years. You know, what I did was just, you know, 1%, 0.5% of what I'd learned.
Mm.
And, you know, the standard wisdom is, you know, you do jiu-jitsu up to blue belt for self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you learn to fight other skilled jiu-jitsu people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there are various slants you can take on that. Like, you know, I know Pedro's and Steve and Helio Gracie are self-defense oriented,
mm-hmm,
which I agree with, absolutely. But, yeah, it still seems to me like if you get in a situation where you're going to use more than what you learned in the first, not even the first 2 years, the first few months, it's a very strange situation.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's probably not a real attack. You're probably actually in an argument that's escalated to fisticuffs, if you like.
Yeah.
It's not some guy trying to obliterate you.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, it's the,
yeah,
it's the fundamentals.
Yes,
that are what's going to serve you in a like, yeah, let's just say life, yeah, or death situation.
Yeah,
it's going to be that.
Yeah. So, folks, if you're ever not sure what to practice, it's always fundamentals. You can never get too good at fundamentals. You should never get bored at practicing fundamentals. Yeah. Anyway, enough preaching to the choir. So I go to hospital. I'm basically okay.
Yeah.
You know, it takes about 3 hours. We're driving home, and one of the police rings me and said, "Look, if you want to take this further, we'd like a couple of other people to come around and interview you tonight." So I'm thinking, yeah, okay, whatever. I mean, I did want to pursue this.
You did?
Yeah, you know, I think the legal, it's important, the legal system,
mm,
it, you know, underpins civilization.
Yeah.
you know, when I did jury duty, lots of people were trying to say, oh, if you do this, you won't have to do it. And if you do that, and I'm sort of, well, you know, I'm interested in this.
Mm.
I want to see how things work.
Mm.
This could be a valuable experience, not just for me, but for civilization sort of thing. And I think it was. But, you know, same with, you know, someone commits a crime, you know, the legal system should prevent that, to prevent further crimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, rehabilitate the criminal or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the ideal situation. So anyway, they come around. You know, I had time to get changed, have a shower, eat something, because I hadn't had lunch. So I had dinner, you know, all good. Cops come around, basically told what I've told you up to this stage.
Yeah.
They go out and say, oh, okay, we know who the guy is, or we know who the owner of the car is. We're going to go to his place now. Turned out he was driving somebody else's car. But they caught up with him it was on a Friday, and they got him on, you know, the Sunday morning sort of thing. So, yeah, people talk about the cops being, you know, they put shit on the cops, but, you know, I thought they were great. Little emotional here, I suppose, but I met one guy that tried to hurt me on the day, but everybody else I met on the day was awesome.
Mm. Really help you through a tough time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, that's a reason for faith in humanity, I think.
Mm. I know it's not easy to talk about, so I really appreciate it. I do. Personally, forget the shit that's in front of us.
I've talked about this incessantly,
mm.
and usually I sort of got past the stage where, you know, sort of said, yeah, this happened, that happened. I've talked about this 100 times. so it's part of why I wrote it up in a blog post. So I just say, look, I'm sick of talking about this. Just go to this address and I'll tell you everything you want to know. The sort of, you know, it took 6 months for the legal system to sort of deal with this.
Mm.
Just so that you know. But, you know, for a murder case, you know, it usually takes a couple of years, you know. So you can expect, you know, if anything happens like this, it's a slow process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mainly because of the courts, because they're just, you know, they have a process to go through which takes a lot of care.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the cops. You know, the cops are happy to arrest criminals, along with helping victims. You know, I think most of them, that's their reason for being
doing what they do.
Yeah, helping good guys and arresting bad guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, the long and short of that is, at the end of a 6 month process, he's on home detention for 18 months. And if something else hadn't happened in the meantime, he would have been in jail, I think. And what happened in the meantime was, at his first court date, he was a no-show, because 5 days before court, he'd had like a really bad motorcycle accident.
Right.
And it happened like 100 metres from Gosford Hospital. And I don't know how true this is, but, you know, the news outlets told me that, if he hadn't have been so close to the hospital, he'd probably be dead.
Mm.
And, like, he was seriously messed up. You know, 2 broken legs, ruptured spleen, liver, a few other, hamburger with a lot sort of thing.
Mm.
so, you know, the cops suggested that might have been karma.
Mm.
I was
just quietly thinking that might have been what that was.
But, you know, compared compared to what he did to me, yeah, that's, you know, that's yeah, an atom bomb to swat a fly sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't do the, that's not the outcome I was looking for.
Mm, of course.
Yeah. But yeah, he didn't go to court, and I think the reason he's mainly on home detention is because he would have a poor prognosis in jail.
Mm.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't necessarily want him associating with criminals either. I'd rather he wised up and, you know, lived a good life.
Mm.
And didn't make mistakes like this again. Mm. You know, he's only 20. He's bigger than me, stronger than me, but he's young.
Mm.
Hot-headed, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, you know, and if you hear this somehow, don't do it again. It's obviously a bad idea. Worked out a lot worse for him than it worked out for me in the long run. So, yeah, I drove through there like a week later. I went to jiu-jitsu after a week and a half. I wasn't going to roll. I did have a refereeing gig on like the week later, but that was sort of too soon. Mm. What was most difficult was dealing with complicated situations with people.
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of knew, we had my in-laws out from England, and I just couldn't face going out, not so much because I was scared, but just because I just knew it was going to be too much to process, and I'd get pissed off, and, you know, I wouldn't be able to deal with it, basically.
Mm.
Now, it's not like I'd be in a gibbering mess. I'd probably just get really annoyed and spoil everybody's day sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I begged Anthony out of this refereeing thing because I knew that'd be high stress.
Yeah, of course.
And, he was fine with that. I told him and Rick and David Crook what happened to me, John Will as well. And, you know, nobody's come back and said, you should have got out of the car and, you know, given the guy some rough justice. Nobody said that. They said, yep. Sensible. Mm. A few people have said, you know, I would have got to get the car and beat the guy up, but no, if you did, you'd be regretting it now.
Yeah, and you can't really comment on that unless you're in that situation.
No. And every situation's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no sort of standard response. There's no standard incident. There's no standard response.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, going on, that was all okay. About a month later, I get a call from the senior constable. She says, "Oh, look, there's been a bit of interest from the media." This was before the trial, the first trial. Is it okay, you know, how do you feel about talking to our media liaison people? And I said, I suppose so. If it sort of works out and sends the right sort of message, why not? But I'm thinking, you know, I'm sure people get beat up every day.
Mm.
You know, I didn't think what had happened to me was particularly special or noteworthy at all. I figured, well, this is going nowhere.
Mm.
But the police liaison guy rang me up and, you know, we had a bit of a chat, and I said, yeah, look, whatever, thinking nothing would happen. But the trial comes around and he's a no-show at the trial, and nobody knew why at the time. I think it's solicitor. I mean, I didn't go there. What's the point, right? It was at Manly as well, and it's a fair way to go. The trial happens. My mobile starts ringing. Looking at it, you know, it's Nikki Lange and Rick Spain's wife Amy ringing up saying, "Oh, look, you know, these people have rung up and want to be put in touch with you. You can get in touch with them if you want to." And I'm sort of like, well, nobody's told me anything. I don't know anything.
Mm.
You know, and you know, I tried to ring the police that were on my case, but you know, they were out. They probably had actual work to do out, you know, catching criminals or whatever.
Mm.
So, you know, I couldn't get in touch with them, but, yeah, it's not their bad.
Mm.
They're doing what, you know, they should be out there.
Doing their job, yeah, doing what they should be doing.
Fighting for justice, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Suddenly there's a ring at the doorbell, and it's Sophie Walsh from Channel 9. And she's closely followed by Tom Saker from Channel 7. And, I open the door and there's this sort of supermodel there, Sophie. You know, and you see these people on TV and you think, oh, she's nice looking. But you see them in the flesh and you think, you've had gene therapy or something. Or you've made a bargain with the devil or something to look this good. You know, it's just, you know, the perfect looking, perfect hair, perfect clothes.
Yeah.
So we invited them in and sat down. You know, I'm in my tracky decks and I feel like a complete slob.
You feel like you're underdressed for your own home.
Totally underdressed in my own home. And, I sort of said, look, you know, I haven't heard anything about the trial, and you know, they asked me a few things and said, look, you know, I really want to talk to the cops in case I say something I shouldn't. And so I sort of left them with it, and you know, I was on the news and that sort of stuff. And they say on the news I'm a jiu-jitsu black belt and a kung fu master, but you know, you still got beaten up sort of thing.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, oh shit, you know, did you have to say that?
Yeah.
But they also said I drove myself to hospital afterwards, which was completely false, but yeah, I'll take that one. Yeah.
They just make that up?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think any of them have bad intentions.
Mm.
But yeah, they've got to make things sound good, and they're operating on small amounts of information. You just got to do the best you can, and like tomorrow's another day.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm probably going to piss a few people off and misquote them today, but that's life. That's my job.
I'll do it again tomorrow.
That's what they pay me for.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, this happens and, what's going on? And then that night, producer from Sunday Night rings me up, Rebecca, and I tell her, look, you know, I've had Sophie Walsh and you know Tom around, and which she got sort of really pissed off about. And I said, well, you know, they turn up at the doorstep. I can't drive them off or anything.
Mm.
You know, I'm trying to be a reasonable human being here.
Yeah.
But she got really pissed off that I'd spoken to them before I'd spoken to her, because she'd spoken to the police media liaison.
Yeah.
And so we got past that, and she said, look, can I come out and talk to you tomorrow? And so she comes out and she says, well, you know, we're doing a story on road rage sort of thing. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, whatever. Thinking, yeah, this is newsworthy.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd get on the news, let alone, you know, be part of a special.
Yeah.
But you know, she sounded nice and sincere. Next day I go to Hornsby RSL, and they got this whole room set up with me and Matt Doran.
Yep.
And he was easy to talk to and quite professional. Spoke to him for about an hour and 10 minutes. Rebecca says to me afterwards, is there any way we can get some jiu-jitsu into this? And I'm, yeah. Certainly can.
Let me get my yeast.
Yeah, Nikki Lanyard would be asking me, you know, how's it going? What's going on? And I ask her, you know, they want to do something jiu-jitsu. What do you think? And, you know, that all went ahead, and I gave, and yeah, they were keen. It's hard to get publicity like that.
Yeah.
So I gave her Anthony's number, and they set something up for the next Monday. There was a weekend in between. And thankfully, they don't work 24/7, though it's pretty close from what I saw. So the Monday, the Monday we're out at Lang's. Spent about an hour filming out there. Anthony prepared a lesson where we're dealing with, being on the ground and the puncher attacking us.
Yeah.
Which was, a great lesson for considering what the program was about. And, they took some footage of me in a gi walking up the camera looking tough with a black belt on.
Yeah.
And, I'm throwing Anthony around a bit and, got an armbar on him, which, was a pretty rare occurrence in real life. But, it's on telly, Anthony.
Yeah, it's on the record.
Yep. actually, the day I got interviewed, we took a walk around Pennant Hills Park because we were in that area. And we had to go through this script like 9 or 10 times, sort of saying, Pat, my wife, is saying to me, I'm so glad you didn't get badly hurt. And I'm saying, it was quite stressful and, it sort of... that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which was sort of scripted, but you gotta play the game.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
But it got pretty weird after the 9th or 10th take.
Yeah.
And that sort of happened. And then we went back to our place, which they'd set up like a TV studio as much as that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And they interviewed Pat for about half an hour, I suppose. And then they all went home about 6:30, and we're sort of sitting there going, what the hell just happened? That happened, and then Monday we went to Lang's. Rebecca took my car, and I swapped cars with her so they could do some driving around French's Forest and reenacting the situation. This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they've got Steve, the truck driver, and an actor was driving my car, and there was an actor who was an attacker, and they, from somewhere they'd hired it or got a ute that looked like a bit like his ute, and they're doing all this stuff. And the next day I take Rebecca's car out to French's Forest.
Mm-hmm.
I drive around the block with Matt Doran, like it was a large block around the back of Forest Way Shopping Centre about 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, showed him what a mess the roadworks were because of the hospital. And, we went through a bit of a script there, which got kind of weird and strange the 8th time through. But, it was interesting.
Yeah.
And, I get back there and they sort of spring the truck driver on me who'd, he'd gone to the cops and he'd been calling the cops all the time asking them how I was and stuff like this.
Mm.
And they'd interviewed him for the program as well.
Weren't aware that he was going to be
no,
there?
No. Right. But, they did things like the cops had told me that my attacker had been in an accident, but they didn't say how serious it was. They sort of sprung that on me in the middle of the interview, because they want a reaction out of me.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, yeah, I knew that. They don't want that. They want me to, double take and, whatever, react.
React naturally.
And this was like that, They'd sort of set this up. So, I had a chat to him and, I was glad to see him, obviously.
Mm.
Grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I got product placement with Lang's, so I wore my Rick Spain hoodie along to that one.
Yeah.
So, product placement, did my best.
Yeah.
What happened after that? I went and had lunch after that, and they were still doing some more filming, so they wanted my car, so I took Rebecca's car home again, and she was going to bring it back that night, and I thought, you're not coming back here tonight. And No, she didn't. Yeah, they were just too much going on.
Yeah.
So she took my car home again and came back the next day, and there might have been something else we filmed as well, but I can't remember what it was. No, probably not, actually. Mm. But, yeah, I couldn't believe they got these actors to play me, and I met one of the actors, and he was sort of hanging around. No one told me who he was, and it was near a bus stop, and I thought, oh, he's just some dude waiting for the bus, and,
yeah,
you know, all this sort of stuff happened. And anyway, that all went to air. It was about 10 hours of filming. The actual story lasted for half the program, and they put another road rage incident in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
The participants in which didn't come out quite as well as I did.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they interviewed the guy in hospital. There was something else. Anyway, they did the program, 10 hours of filming cut down to about 20 minutes max.
Yeah.
Right? And probably more like 12 or 15. You know, an hour at Langley's turned into like 45 seconds.
Yeah.
The thing where I met the truck driver didn't even make the program, but it did appear on like their Facebook page.
Yeah.
The thing in the forest didn't make the program, but it was just a trailer. You know, it's just amazing how much time it took to make such a small skit.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other one was another road rage incident where, nobody came out looking good in that one.
Right.
And, that was, some of them were just ferals. You know, they were horrible people. I felt, it ended up with a female getting punched in the face, which I don't agree with and hope I would never do, but this is the closest situation I've ever seen to where I thought, yeah, she deserved it.
Right.
Because she was absolutely diabolical.
Right.
In this road rage incident. You know, she was throwing stuff at his car and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, the poor guy has to live with punching this woman in the face on national television, which isn't a good look.
Yeah, of course.
And I obviously came out a whole lot better than that.
But I'm sure.
The part I forgot to mention is that they got me, Matt Doran rings me up the next day and, I think, oh, what does he want to talk to me for today? And he's talking about my attacker and how he's in hospital and really remorseful. And, you know, I'd sort of made a bit of a pitch to him on camera when Matt interviewed me. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I know where this is going. And so he says, you know, it'd be really good if you came out to the hospital and, you know, he wants to apologise to you and, you can have a chat to him or whatever. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, I wonder whose idea this was, sort of thing. Mm. He sort of sold it to me very well, which is his job. I liked all those people. Mm. You know, they were interesting and good to work with, and nobody sold me any false alibis or anything.
Yeah.
He sold it to me, and I sort of sold it to myself. Like, this is the pinnacle. This is the icing on the cake. You know, I can sort of, this is as close as I'm going to get to sainthood if I go to the hospital and meet this guy and he apologises to me and I forgive him.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And so we did all that. I can't remember when it was. I think it was the next day in the afternoon. So, I went out there and, I got to know the sound guy and the cameraman and Rebecca a bit better. So, we're sort of joking around for a while. It takes ages to set stuff up.
And, sure.
Nothing's ever goes to schedule from what I can see. But you can understand why, he comes out and, he's in a wheelchair. He's smashed up, and he was really shy and, he Matt had to prod him a bit, but he did sort of apologise. He was really soft-spoken. I sort of said, look, you know, don't worry about it, get better. This is your past and present, but it doesn't have to be your future, you know, yada, yada, yada. Mm. It's hard to make stuff up on the spur of the moment and sound like Barack Obama or whatever. Mm. Plus he has speech writers. I did all that and we all finished up and I shook hands with his cousin and his uncle. But, you know, I'm taking the train home and it's sort of like, well, you know, that wasn't really what I thought it was going to be at all. It was kind of, depressing seeing him in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what his motivations were for doing it. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he was genuinely sorry.
Yeah.
But obviously it's going to look better for him in court.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a bit disappointing like that.
Mm.
You know? And it wasn't the way I had sold it to myself. And, I guess there's a lesson in that. You can't manufacture a peak experience.
Mm.
You know, and it doesn't always work out the way you think it is. You know, sometimes you think you're going to go to this party and you've met this girl and you really like her and you think this is going to be the night and it just nothing happens.
You know,
you get there and it's dead. Nothing happens.
Mm.
It was sort of like that, yeah.
I was going to ask you... I was actually going to ask if you visited him in hospital, and then I was also going to ask what your overall experience was, with the recording and all that sort of stuff, like doing the media stuff, and whether if you know what you know now, would you have actually taken up that offer to do that?
Yes, I would. What I meant to say before, I went back to Langley's after a week and a half.
Mm.
I wasn't going to roll, but I ended up, battling leg locks with Luca, basically, because we were both really into Danaher's stuff at the time.
Mm.
You know, his video had just come out sort of thing.
Playing around with it.
Yeah, mm. Yeah. So I ended up rolling anyway, and I enjoyed it. After we did the filming at Lang's, Nikki actually sent me a message saying, are you okay?
Mm.
We were thinking about it later and it might have been a good idea to have Anthony raining punches down on you. After the incident. And I said, I didn't get triggered or anything.
Yeah.
It was just, I'm at jiu-jitsu. I'm with my friends. There's about six of us there. They're filming me on television. What's bad about this?
Mm.
It was friggin' awesome.
Mm.
And it's surprising out of all this, lessons that I learned and experience of getting filmed and being a minor celebrity for a short time, 15 minutes of fame.
Yep.
It was mostly a really positive experience.
Mm.
I don't recommend it to anyone, but...
Well, to go through what you went through in order to get that 15 minutes of fame probably isn't worth it.
Yeah. But, I'm rolling a week and a half afterwards. Next class I did was just a regular class. I'm getting guys are smothering me and trying to break my arms off and choke me and, I'm trying to do the same to them. I drove through the same intersection going there one day and I thought, how about this? I'll drive along exactly the same path, the next time I went there.
Mm.
And so, there's no sort of lasting damage.
Yeah.
I've got good lessons out of it, if anything.
Yeah.
And confidence in what I'd learned.
Mm.
And know that if things happen again, I've got a good chance of reacting in a way that's going to work out as best as it can for me.
Mm.
It's never going to work out well, but you can it can be bad or it can be catastrophic, you know.
Mm.
And you know, you get away with bad and minor injuries, it's probably a win.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, to put it into perspective, I don't know whether there's many 63 at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether there's many 63-year-old men who in that circumstance would come out of it as well as you did.
Yeah, I thought, you know, what if there's an invalid old lady in the car?
Mm.
You know, like, well, one of the news outlets called me elderly, which I didn't like at all. I'll take old, right? But elderly's a bridge too far. You know, what if it's, you know, mother with preschoolers in the car?
Mm.
You know, something like that. You know, how's that going to go down? Very badly. I pay credit to my instructors and also me for, you know, giving me some sensible options in a difficult situation.
And then, yeah, making the right choices at the right time.
Yep.
Making the right choices at the wrong time, I guess you could almost say.
Yeah, yeah. this stuff works, but, you know, it doesn't, it's not an invisibility cloak. It's not kryptonite. You know, it's not a suit of armour, you know, but it does work. But if you get in a fight, expect to get injured.
Mm.
So don't get in fights, folks. Yeah.
That's a pretty good message.
Don't try this at home.
As they say. We've been going for 3 hours and 15 minutes, and this is by far the longest podcast I've done. Was there anything else you wanted to add with that or any other things you wanted to discuss, or are you happy to wrap things up?
I think I'm pretty happy to wrap things up. Just keep training, guys. Jiu-jitsu is something that should build you up and not break you down. Something you want to think about doing in, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. So think of it that way. You know, don't go all in and break yourself. Train smart. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to your training partners. Let's leave it there. That's about as close as to being a spokesman as I'm going to get.
I'll say, I just want to say a couple quick things. So one, you said 40, 50 years of training, and you mentioned earlier as a white belt, keep yourself wanting more.
Yep.
Do that for 40 or 50 years, and then you'll enjoy it the whole way. I wanted to say a personal thank you. Forget the podcast stuff. Forget that that's here. Personal thank you. I really appreciate you giving your time to me. I know this is going to come out and everyone can hear it, but I appreciate it. And I'm sure everyone else will. 40 years of martial arts, you are by far the most... I don't think I could get a better guest on here. So...
Well, that's very kind.
I just wanted to say thank you.
Yeah, I thanks for the opportunity. You know, it's a pleasure to get, you know, sort of recognition from your peers anytime.
Mm.
And, you know, anyone that tells you they're not flattered by an offer like this is a liar. You know, it was a pleasure, and, you know, you're kidding yourself if you don't give yourself a big pat on the back and say, yeah, I'm awesome for doing stuff like this. Right. Yeah, I've enjoyed myself a whole lot. So thanks, Brad.
No worries. Thank you for that. We'll leave it at that, everyone. Thanks for listening. If you've hung in for 3 hours and 17, going on 18 minutes, well done to you. And I'll see everyone on the mats very shortly. Thank you.